The Pharisees were the strictest sect of the Jews. The Pharisees paid attention to the most minute elements of the law of Moses, all the way down to the tithing of herbs. However, in their earnest for the minutiae of the law, they oftentimes forgot some of the major components thereof. And because of that, they earned the rebuke of Jesus Christ. Woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe anise and cumin and all manner of herbs, but ye have passed over judgment and the love of God. These ye ought to have done. In other words, yes, you are right in the tithing of those minute things, but not to leave the other undone. Luke 11, verse 42. Did you hear the two things that Jesus makes mention of that they had passed over? Judgment and the love of God. My friends, God forbid that you and I ever pass over the love of the Almighty God. And in order for us not to do that, that will be the subject of tonight's lesson. In fact, the title of our lesson is The Vastness of the Love of God. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, verse 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He hath loved us. That word great is an interesting term. It means many, large, numerous, great, abundant, plentiful. When Paul says that the love of God is great, he is trying to stress to the hearers the vastness of God's love. In Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 17, he continues talking about the vastness of the love of God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He then continues that ye may know with all the saints, that ye may comprehend with all the saints what is the, listen to him, the breadth, the length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth understanding. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. Did you hear those four words that he makes mention of? He says that the love of God has a width to it. The love of God has a length to it. The love of God has a depth to it. And the love of God has a height to it. Again, he's talking about the vastness of the love of God. The love of God stretches out far and wide, low and high, does it not? And for the next few moments, that's where we want to focus our attention. The vastness of the love of God. Let's begin by noticing first the breadth of the love of God. When you look up that little word breadth in the Greek language, it is the word polos, P-O-L-O-S. And what it means is this: to make just as flat and wide as can possibly be. It involves a great expanse. I don't know how many of you have gotten in a car and driven out west, but you finally reach a point and everything just changes, does it not? You look down the road and it is just as straight and long as it can possibly be. You look to the right and there are fields just as far as you can see. You look to the left and there's fields just as far as you can see. That is the expanse of that beautiful country that is out there. My friends, the love of God is expansive in nature. It spreads out just as wide and flat as it needs to be. Just how wide is the love of God? Listen to the verse again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Have we ever really stopped to think about that word world really? And who that really involves? Yes, it involves every human being who is on the face of this planet at this present time, does it not? But my friends, the love of God is so expansive that it comprehends every individual from the dawn of time who have ever lived upon this globe. This earth, as far as we know, may continue for thousands and thousands of more years. And the love of God will encompass all of those individuals as well. I find it interesting in the book of Acts that we see the love of God spreading and spreading and spreading and spreading. It began in the city of Jerusalem, Acts 2. It spread to the regions of Judea. Acts verses 3 through 8. We enter into chapter 10 and we find it spreading to the Gentiles, do we not? We enter into chapter 16 and it spreads to the Romans. And by the time the Apostle Paul reaches chapters 27 and 28, he has gone from Jerusalem all the way to the Roman capital in the city of Rome itself. What is happening in the book of Acts? The love of God is spreading. It is being just as vast as it possibly can be, my friends. The love of God spreads and spreads and spreads, and there is no place wherein that love does not finally encompass the entirety of the world. The love of God has a breadth to it, doesn't it? Notice point number two. Paul says that the love of God has a length to it. When you look up the word in the Greek language, the word is megas. M-E-G-A-S. We talk about mega churches, don't we? We talk about mega cities. We talk about mega malls. And some of us like to go and we like to have a mega meal from time to time, don't we? You see, when we put it in those terms, we understand what he's talking about, don't we? What he means is this: the love of God is large, the love of God is massive, but there is another definition to the word. And it is this: it is the length to which one will go to pursue something. Don't we often talk about that? We may say something like this: look at the lengths that individual has gone to establish a business and to grow that business. And we know what we mean by that, don't we? We're talking about the effort that this individual has put in order to establish and grow that business to this particular point. And we say, oh, look at the length he's gone to do that. David went to great lengths, did he not, to cover his sin with Bathsheba, even to the point of murdering a man. Sometimes we talk about individuals who are penny pinchers when they're young, don't we? They can squeeze a nickel so hard that it'll make a buffalo burp. And then all of a sudden that individual reaches about 40, 42 years of age, and guess what? He quits work. And he retires and he just lives off his wealth, doesn't he? At a young age. And we say, my, the lengths he went to have a retirement income. My friends, mankind was lost in sin and stood condemned to die in a devil's hell. Here's the question. Did God go to great lengths to redeem us? Question. Did the love of God go to great lengths to save us? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 4:16. In this was manifested the love of God, because that God gave his only begotten Son that we might live through him. 1 John 4:9. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul is using these descriptive terms of the love of God, the thing he says is this: I desire that you come to comprehend these things. I want you to stop for a moment, and I want you to really ask yourself, can you truly get your mind around God becoming man? Can you really come to a full understanding of a spirit being willing to clothe himself in human flesh? Can you comprehend a being who has no beginning and a being who has no end, being willing to die for all of humanity? Here's a being who is so holy and so pure that he cannot be tempted, and yet he was tempted of Satan in all points, like as we are. Here is a being who would never, ever commit one sin, not one transgression, and yet he was willing to stand before judges and be condemned to death for crimes, was he not? Here's a being who is so holy that his mind cannot even think of evil. And yet the sins of the world are placed upon his back. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Folks, you try to comprehend the lengths to which God went in order to redeem us from our iniquity. It's incomprehensible, is it not? It's just difficult for us to imagine what God actually did in the sending of Jesus to die for us upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, the lengths to which he went to save fallen man. Thirdly, Paul makes mention, does he not, of the depth of the love of God. The word depth doesn't carry a deep meaning, no pun intended. It simply means depth. There's only one other definition to it, and sometimes we refer to the oceans as the deep, don't we? Friday night I got in from that gospel meeting and turned on the television, and we had about 20 channels on DirecTV that they were giving to us free for a week. Couldn't believe it. One of those is National Geographic High Definition. I was tickled to death. Turned it over there, and there was these guys who were trying to go down to the depths of the ocean floor. The furthest any individual had ever dived before was just a few thousand feet. 3,000 or 4,000 feet. The machine that had dived before was back in the 50s, and it had dived somewhere around 93 or 9,400 feet. This machine, however, they wanted to go below that. First dive, 9,700 feet. Not quite 2 miles to the ocean floor. They pull it back up, and they're going to make a dive in just a couple more days, and they do. 27,000 feet, over 5 miles to the ocean's depth. A canyon that was there, unbelievable. Pictures and all, fish down there, shrimp down there, you just couldn't believe it. Folks, that's deep, isn't it? Now, what does Paul say? Paul uses that word to describe the deep, to describe the love of God. He says the love of God has a depth to it. Folks, when the love of God is reaching down from heaven, guess what? It reaches farther down than just the elite of society. My dad used to like the word the upper echelon. When the love of God proceeds from heaven down to earth, it goes deeper, does it not, than just us who are of the middle class. When the love of God comes down from heaven, it goes deeper than just the poor of society, doesn't it? Folks, the love of God goes into the back alleys, does it not? It goes into the depths of those prison cells that are dark and dingy. The love of God enters in through the streets that you and I would never travel down at night. The love of God enters into the most base and the most defiled of all of human society. There is not a person that you and I can imagine, not one, regardless of how wicked and evil and corrupt that individual is, that the love of God has not reached out unto. The love of God is deep. This morning we talked about the Apostle Paul, didn't we? Really, we talked about Saul. That's a pretty corrupt man, wasn't it? He was a man who defined himself as a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious to the cause of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Why don't we just get blunt with the matter? He was a murderer is what he was, wasn't he? He said, I was the chief of sinners. That's the way he viewed himself. But when we really look at Paul, what do we see? We see a religious zealot, do we not? We see a man who was well trained in the law. We see a man who had great wealth. We see a man of great position. We see a man of deep sincerity. Yes, wrong, but sincere, don't we? We see a man who's extremely knowledgeable, isn't he? We see a man who grew up in a covenant relationship with God under the old covenant. And so we look at Paul and we can kind of understand, can we not? The love of God can reach a man like that. Folks, the love of God can reach deeper than even a man like Paul, can he? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor abuser of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but those are 10 gross sins, aren't they? Those are not individuals that I like to have a good time with. Anywhere from adulterers to homosexuals to thieves to drunkards to extortioners. Those are individuals that we want nothing to do with. I'm not rubbing elbows with those guys, are you? Not me. But listen to Paul. Writing to the church at Corinth. That's where these words are found. And such were some of you. Wow. 10 sins. And Paul says, when you go into this congregation and you look at the backgrounds of these individuals, guess what? You'll find somebody in this church who has committed one of these 10 sins. Folks, the love of God can reach down even to the dregs of society, can it not? And such, listen to him, were some of you. That's past tense. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Folks, we're talking about the most base, wicked individuals in society. And Paul says, yes, you were that way, but no longer. Why? Because the love of God reached down far enough to find even the most defiled individual and redeem him. You mean the love of God can save a man like Saul? Oh, yeah. The love of God can save individuals like the Corinthians? Oh, yes. Surely, the love of God can save me. And surely, individuals in this community, folks, they live some rough lives, you know that. They're not people that we just go hobnobbing with all the time. You don't go into their house on Fridays and Saturday nights, do you? Not many of them. But the love of God has reached down from heaven to those individuals. The love of God has a depth to it, does it? Notice fourthly that the Apostle Paul says that the love of God has a height to it. The word height means this: to be high, to be elevated. But it also means this: to hold a position and to hold a rank. Folks, when the love of God reaches down, I want you to think about that. The love of God reached down to those Corinthians, and perhaps those individuals were individuals who even were out there in the streets of Corinth on a nightly basis, engaging in their transgressions. The love of God grabbed those individuals, and guess what it did? It did not keep them in those low positions. Oh no, the love of God is high. And the love of God elevates mankind to a high rank and high position. Let's talk about three or four of them. Number one, the love of God lifts me up out of the depths and mires of sin into the family of the Almighty God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. 1 John 3, verse 2. Guess what? There's not a human being upon the face of the earth, if they become a Christian, who has to be ashamed of who their father is. You know, there's a lot of individuals who walk around today who've come from some pretty rough backgrounds, have they not? And they don't go around bragging about mom, and they don't go around bragging about dad. That's not something that they're proud of. But folks, when the love of God grabs an individual, it lifts that individual out of the mire of that family, out of that dysfunction. And now that individual can walk around with a smile and say, I have been elevated to be a son of God. Folks, what a blessing that is. There's a verse found in Ephesians 2, verse 6 that we don't talk about a whole lot. We kind of just read through it. Okay? When you and I are converted, we go through a process, do we not? We're individuals who die to our sins. That's repentance. We take that old dead man of sin, we bury him in the waters of baptism, and the blood of Jesus cleanses every transgression therefrom. And then we rise, do we not, to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4. But in Ephesians 2, 6, Paul says this, who hath raised us up together. Folks, what's he talking about? He's talking about conversion, is he not? He raised us up together. Now listen to him. And made us sit together, where? In heavenly places in Christ. Now wait just a minute. I'm still sitting right here on the face of this earth, aren't I? Oh, no, you're not. He raised you up and he made you sit together with other redeemed individuals where? In heavenly places. Folks, do you know what the church is? The church is a heavenly place. Did you know that? Question, is the church a part of this world? No. We're not part of this world. Yes, we're here. But we're not part of this world. Well, if we're not part of this world, then what are we part of? We are part of heaven, is what we are. Aren't we? Because I'm a member of the church, I am sitting in a heavenly place. That's exalted, folks. Prior to my conversion, I was an old citizen of the world, wasn't I? I had as my leader, my president here, none other than Satan himself. But the love of God touched my heart. I responded to that, and guess what? I've got an elevated citizenship now. For our conversation is in heaven, Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 20. Folks, think about what we're talking about. Lifted from bad families, earthly families, to where? The heavenly family. No longer are you and I individuals who are of this world. Oh no, we are now part of what? We are now part of a heavenly place. We're not citizens here. We're not residents here. Our conversations where? In heaven. And one day, all the faithful will be elevated to the highest position that you could possibly attain, my friends. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That heaven about which we speak, about which Peter was speaking, 1 Peter 1, verse 4, is that third heaven, is it not? There's the first heaven here, the air we breathe where the birds fly. There's the second heaven, the heaven where the planets are. But there's a third heaven that you and I can't see. And that's the dwelling place of the Almighty God. And one day, everyone who is faithful, by the love of God, will be elevated to that place called heaven. The love of God has what? The love of God has a breath to it. The love of God has a length to it. The love of God has a depth to it. And the love of God has a height to it. Now remember what Jesus said the Pharisees had done? You have passed over the love of God. Folks, help us never to pass over the wonderful love of God. One man said this, the love of God comprehends all of heaven, all things below, everything that is past, and all that is yet to come. Turn your song books to number 713. The title of the song is The Love of God. And listen to what the writer says. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure. Folks, the love of God is boundless and endless, is it not? And you and I need to relish the fact that God has loved me the way He has. If we truly come to comprehend that love, there's only one thing that man can do, and that's respond with love. I've got a neighbor across the street. He's been here once. Y'all met him. Larry Haynes. I have no clue why this guy likes me so much. You know? I just don't. Kathleen says the same thing. She says, I can't believe he likes you so much. And that guy, he will do anything for me that I could possibly imagine. Did you know that? Got my bike stolen. He bought me a bike. About to leave to go out of town. Forgot to tell anybody to get my mail. Wrote him a note. And guess what he does? Gets my mail every day. No problem whatsoever. Had a guy cut my grass while I was gone. I only had him cut it one Friday. Got back on Saturday from vacation. And guess what? My yard's cut two times. I said, uh-oh, I'm going to get a bill. Larry Haynes paid for that second cut, $40. He said, you'd be tired when you got in. I just told him to cut it for you. Now, let me ask you this. You think I hate that man? I'd be a nut, wouldn't I? Now, we're just talking about a human relationship, aren't we? But here is a man who over and over and over manifests his love and his care for me. He told me the other day, he says, Vic, we're neighbors. And that's what neighbors do. Folks, you have to love a man like that. Now, Larry Haynes has not even begun to manifest the love that God has for us. And all we should be able to do is love God back. Do you know that? Does your life manifest that love? Really and truly, does your life manifest your response to the love of God in return? If you've not obeyed the gospel, you can't say yes to that. And the steps are simple, aren't they? Hear the gospel, repent of sins. After having believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, confess His precious name before men and be buried in water for the forgiveness of sins. How simple is that? And yet man refuses to respond. Folks, all he asks us to do is live for Him. Did you know that? That's all he asks. And yet sometimes we have such difficulty, don't we? Opportunities to serve, we don't serve. Opportunities to use our talents, we refuse to use our talents. Opportunities to preach the gospel, and we let them go by. And yet sin rolls around and we seem like we have to participate, don't we? And God says, don't do that. Just serve me. Be faithful. See, to do that, it takes love for God, doesn't it? Maybe you as a Christian haven't manifested that. You need to ask God to forgive you. Do you need to respond tonight to the love of God? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?